All right, I thought I was okay. I know we're doing something right here at Crosswinds because we are drawing people. I see different folks in the congregation this morning from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We have people driving in all the way from St. John, New Brunswick, Canada. I mean, we're drawing them. It's, of course, my brother and his wife, Barb, and we're so happy to have them this morning. I'm so glad they're here. We're drawing them from Florida. I'm not kidding you. We have a man in yellow shirt from Florida. I mean, we are doing something right here. Now we're just looking to the east and the west, and we're going to be on our way. I want to talk to you this morning, as you can see on the front of your pages. I want to talk a little bit about Galatians and the fruits of the Spirit. And I'll tell you why we're here and what got me to this point in Galatians. I was on the phone with my brother a few weeks ago, and he said something to me. And I don't even know if he realized quite what he said in the sense that he was just talking. And he said, I want to tell you where I'm living at. And he gave me a scripture in Proverbs, and he told me, this is what it means to me, and this is where I'm living at. And he talked to me a little bit about that, and it was very interesting. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, where am I living at? What's one of my favorite scriptures? Where am I at? So ever since then, it's like my mind's been on, where am I living at? So my favorite book, if I was to say in the Bible, of 66 books, is the book of Psalms. And I often quote from it. But I thought, where am I really? What is that? Where would I want to be? Where do I want to live at? And as I pondered that and thought about that, the scriptures and the point in the Bible that came to me is a point in Galatians. Now, Galatians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to many churches. It's the only letter in the New Testament that wasn't written to just the one person or one place. It was written to several churches in the Galatians. So it's really important. So in Galatians 5, you will find in verse 22, and I don't want to separate those words. See, man put the verses in there, 23. So I'm just going to say 5:22. But I thought, this is where I want to live at. This is where I want to be. I want to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. And that is by walking in the Spirit, having the Spirit of God, and exhibiting the fruits. Now, I obviously believe in all of the scriptures, and I believe in Corinthians, and I believe in the gifts. And God's been gracious in giving me some of the gifts. But if I, as a person, as a Christian, would want to say, where do I want to live at? There's nothing more than I would want to be living at than Galatians 5. I want the fruits of the Spirit. And I find it so important. So that's what I'd like to look at this morning. And I want to approach it from just a little bit of a different angle than we normally hear it. But 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And the very first one we find is love. And there's so many different ways of bringing out love and so many different ways of speaking on that. But I was in camp in Mahaffey just recently, as Gene said, and it's a great time to get away, get your mind off of work, get your mind off the normal things of life, and it's so enjoyable even in that sense. But right next door, we have some good friends, and their names is Denise and Charlie. And they have children. And they are missionaries to Mexico. And when I talk to Charlie, I say, Charlie, it's hard for me to relate that you left this land and go to Mexico, where they eat beans three times a day, where they don't have insurance. They have to drive 3 hours to a hospital. And they've given up this way of life and this way of living that we know just as common citizens in here in America to a whole different land. And I've known them for years, but I thought to myself recently, I thought, oh my goodness, that has to come out of love. You can't do something like that. You can't leave. You can't go somewhere where they have so little. And they showed us photos and pictures and, oh, wow. I thought, I don't know if I have that kind of love. I want that kind of love. I want to be able to to be able just to give myself in a way that is so unusual. And but as they give themselves, I thought, that's just love. And I thought, that's a good role model. So, you know, no matter where you are in your Christian life, no matter where we are, we're going to find that there's always someone that can be a good role model for you. The Apostle Paul said, I want you to follow me even as I follow Christ. Now, we don't follow man per se, but, you know, it's good to have a superhero, a super Christian person that you can look to and say, wow, I want to be like that. The Apostle Paul said, I'm your example. And he wrote more of the New Testament than any one person. So the Apostle Paul really knew what he was talking about when he said, if you walk in the Spirit, and that's in verse 16, he said, you can have the fruits of the Spirit. So I feel like I have love, but I want to attain more. See, Christ taught us, he said, there's different levels to Christianity. There's 30%, and that's another whole message, but there's 30%, 60%, and 100%. And I'm not at the 100%, but I'm striving there. I want to be there. But love is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And joy, this is so simple, but joy, I read once, Jesus first, others second, yourself last, J-O-Y. But joy is something that you're going to be able to have in your life if you have a fruit of the Spirit. And I think it's different from just being happy. Because I feel like I'm happy, but joy is something that's deep inside. It's deep inside that Christ gives us. And it's one of the fruits that should be given to us because of what he's done for us and everything he means to us. We praise the Lord because of his attributes. We love him and we have the joy because of all that he does and all who he really, really is. This joy. There's a scripture that says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you want joy, God will give it to you. If you want peace, he'll give it to you. If you want this strength, you get joy and you will have strength. You get joy of the Lord and he'll flood you. He said, the psalmist said, there I go, the psalmist. He said, my cup runneth over. Oh my goodness, my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. I can't help it. I have a case of can't help it. A bad case of can't help it. I have the joy of the Lord. I want that fruit of the Spirit to be so in my life and so in my heart that it just shows. I've walked into a place. I walked into where was it? It was a stores one time in Fredonia, New York. And a man that, this is, I've never told this story. It just popped in my head. But this man that I've never seen before, he never saw me before. I don't, and anyone in that area and city said, we don't know who he is. This man said to me, I don't even know why he spoke to me. I just walked in and he said to me, he said, and he didn't look like he was a preacher. He didn't look like, he didn't have a tie on. Maybe he was a preacher. He said to me, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, you're a manager. Well, at that time, I was a residential manager in Bradford, Pennsylvania. And this man said to me, he said, I want to tell you something. You're a manager. He said, you walk with God. And he said, you have the joy of the Lord. And he said, God has good things for you in store. Something like that in your future. And this was back, let me think, a few years, about 2 or 3 years before I left Bradford, Pennsylvania. And I left there kind of like astounded because I thought, well, he might figure out I'm a Christian, but how in the world would he ever know that I'm a manager? I was a residential manager. And so I got to thinking about that. And, you know, of course, that can have different connotations. And, you know, whether it was an angel of the Lord or what it was, I don't know. No one that at church said they never heard of him. And when I described this man, but you know what? I thought there's one thing about it, the joy. It just shows. And, you know, this is a fruit of the Spirit that I want to live at. Where are we living? So, as my brother said, where are you living? Oh, I want to live here. This is where I want to be. And so I thought, if one of you can just glean a little bit from this, it's going to be so helpful. The next one is peace. Now, generally, we think of peace with men. We think of peace in different ways. But as I come out of camp, I heard a teaching that was so amazing to me. You know, and we've all heard things on forgiveness, and we all have heard things on unforgiveness and reconciliation. But as I got to thinking, I thought I would be amiss to just not to mention this. And sometime I might study this a little more and ponder this to the place where I want to bring this out in a further way, because it was just fantastic. It was a pastor out of Northeast Pennsylvania bringing this forth. But I thought, in order to have peace in our life, we have to not only be forgiving, but we have to forgive ourselves. And he did a whole study that morning on reasons we don't forgive ourselves and reasons we can forgive ourselves. In order to have peace and fruit of the Spirit and peace in our lives, there comes a point in time when you and I that have done things that we've embarrassed ourselves, we've sinned, where we've done things against people, we've made decisions that we weren't happy with. And let me tell you, I believe every single one of us have come to some point in our life where we weren't pleased with ourselves, and maybe we were even ashamed of ourselves, or we embarrassed ourselves. And now, how do we forgive ourselves? This was incredible. Just real quickly, I just want to say the reasons, and this is not my words, this is the teaching, but I just want to pass it to you because it was so good. One of the reasons we don't forgive ourselves is we find a faulty view of forgiveness, or we're comfortable just to quit. We just forget it. Or we struggle with a repetitive sin or something that we just struggle with, and we just feel like we just can't forgive ourselves. So this isn't about God forgiving us. This is about you and I forgiving ourselves. And sometimes that's not easy to do. I'm gonna slow down here a little bit, but sometimes we have a failure to differentiate between our feelings and facts. Or we have a cultural issue. Sometimes Satan comes in and he just says, you're uncertain of the forgiveness of God. Is it really that powerful? Is it that real? Or you have a sense of unworthiness. This is still saying that God wants to give us a peace in our life, a peace in our heart. Sometimes it may be self-deprivation, or we have a poor image of ourselves. And how in the world, and now we're going to go to a process that I thought was so, so good. Because, you know, as I look back over a lifetime, there's just times that, you know, it's like, I don't know, God may forgive me, but can I forgive myself? And, you know, you may be there. You may say, can I forgive myself? I don't think I can. Well, let's look at it for a moment. First step is to recognize the problem. Face the problem. Be honest with God. Say, God, I know what you said. I know 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive myself. But I can't forgive myself. I just can't. I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's just too much. So how am I going to do that? First, just simply repent. Just say, God, I give it to you. I'll lay it on the altar. I take this crisis in my life. I take this issue. I take this thing, and I put it out before you, and I lay it here. And you said, if I confess, you forgive me. Now help me to reaffirm my trust in you. Would someone for me, anyone, please raise your hand so we don't have four or five, but someone look up Psalms 103, and please read for us 11 and 12, because I want to move on. Psalms 103, anyone want to look it for us and just read it for us? Psalms 103, verse 11 and 12. Hey, wait a minute. Oh, no, you're not getting away with this. All right, thank you. I have a hand. Psalms 103, verse 11 and 12 in just a minute. But we want to reaffirm our trust in God. We want to put it in God's hand. God is going to work it out. We can feel the freedom if we say, God, I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to lay it on the altar and I'm going to reaffirm that you've not only forgiven me, but now I'm going to find it in my heart to do what you've done. Because if I don't forgive myself, I'm not going to be in peace. And I'm not doing what you want me to do. And actually, that would be kind of a sin against God. Because God said, I will forget your sins from as the east is from the west. I will cancel them. I will forget them. That's not like God doesn't have a memory. But he chooses. God chooses to erase it from his memory. And as human beings, we don't have that ability. But we can look into Psalms 103. Go ahead, sister, and read that for us. Wow. So that's what God wants. That's what God does. It's not what he wants to do. It's what he does. He absolutely erases it. Now, in our physical human mind, can we do what God does? We have to. We need to. We need to refocus on what is good. Philippians 4:8 says to concentrate and think upon things that are pure, lovely, and of good report. If it's not a good report, we don't have to dwell on it. If it's not wonderful, we don't have to think about it. But the teacher in Forgiving Ourselves said, we can't just say we're going to forget it because we can't. But we have to replace it with something. We have to think of something positive. We have to think of something that is going to take its place to forgive yourself. There's several times in the Bible that there was people that could not forgive themselves. They just couldn't do it. And it almost seems like, oh, rightfully so. I mean, but God's willing to forgive each and every one. There was a man, his name was Judas Iscariot. And most of you know that he almost sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. And he was horrible, and he was being led by the devil, and it was awful. And, you know, most of us know what Judas is about. But Judas could not live with himself. He could not live with himself. He could not forgive himself. And he went out, and what does the Bible say? The Bible says he went out and he hung himself. And there are people in this world, and today, this isn't anything new. We're living in August of 2016, and it's nothing new. There are people that cannot forgive themselves, and they just don't know what to do. And they commit suicide, or they do other horrible things. They just can't handle it. But see, God wants to give you a peace. He wants you to live. And I knew I was going to be held up at the word peace more than the other words. But I just wanted to bring a different angle and a different thing that God wants us to process forgiveness even for ourselves. And it can be something simple, or it can be something very complicated or very deep. There's no such thing. We don't believe in little white lies and big black lies and little sins and big sins. When we transgress against God, we have to say, God, you not only, I'm repenting, I'm giving it to you, I ask you to forgive me, but now I'm going to replace that thought with something better. I'm going to, forgive myself. And God will give us a peace. He will give us that peace. So I hope that something I've said will help. I know it helped me. So, you know, I just want to help you this morning and let you realize that one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace, and peace is forgiving. And like I said, it could be something small, it could be something big. And it crossed my mind. I don't know why it crossed my mind. I want to tell you something small in my life. One time we had, years ago, Roxanne and I had a little dog, and her name was Peaches. And this was the cutest little thing. And I liked Peaches. She loved Peaches. I don't know if I liked her or loved Peaches, but I liked her. But this little dog, we couldn't housebreak it. This little thing ran around the house, and no matter what we did everything that they say to do. We read books. We gave it treats. We took it out. We tried everything, but Peaches could not be housebroken. And it would go, you know, it was a wonderful little dog. It was a she dog, and she ran around, and she knew she shouldn't just go, so she'd run around the chair, and she'd go, and pretty soon she ruined the rug, and I had to buy a new rug, and pretty soon I said, she's ruining a rug. So finally I made the decision that Peaches had to go. Peaches, You're gone. I'm putting you in a paper in your head. You just can't stay here any longer. She was ruining every carpet. I could not, no matter what we did, we could not break her. She was not be housebroken. So an older couple, a good couple, took the dog, and so that was nice. But I didn't realize for several years that Roxanne, she needed that dog. She needed that dog for comfort, for companion, for company. But it didn't, it hit her harder than it hit me. But it was several years later, I said, no more dogs, no more. Several years later, Cherub came along because I said, you know what? And it dawned on me. And I was like, oh, that sounds so simple. But I wanted to bring something simple to you. You know, it can be something simple. And I thought, oh, my goodness. I took away happiness out of her life. I took something away. It's like God could overlook that. But I couldn't. I had trouble with that. So I made the decision, okay, you can get another dog. And within a short time, this little Shih Tzu came into our life. And that's how Cherub ended up being in the house. I said, okay. But you know what? Something simple like that can bother you. And it bothered me that I realized, oh, she needed this more than I realized. You know, and so things bother us. And Cherub we had for 15 years, and she was just a wonderful little thing. And I lost her last December. Yeah, it's so, she, you know what? These little animals become part of your life. They're like a kids. So, but we forgive ourselves. We move forward. But God wants us to move in the fruits of the Spirit. He wants to move in forgiveness in your life. And I want you to know you can forgive yourself and you can have the peace of God. That passes all understanding. Do I understand how it works? Not always, but I know that if we focus on what He has for us, we can move into this. We can move into these fruits and live with these fruits. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering is, you know, just having peace, being able to stay the course. Stay the course, even if things get tough. Move forward. Stay the course. That's what we're doing here at Crosswinds. Wow, things might look a little bit rough, but we're staying the course. We're going to, you know, you make up your mind. You just make up your mind. Some don't have their mind made up, but our mind's made up. some, I know somebody that jumps churches. I can think of them in my head that jumps churches like every 6 months. We're not jumping ship. Make up your mind. We're going to forge forward. We're going forward. We're going to have long suffering. You're going to put up with Dennis. You're going to put up with Rick. You're going to put up with Jason. You're going to put up with Dave. I mean, you're going to put up with us because you have long suffering. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Oh. Long suffering. Kindness. Kindness. That's so self-explanatory. Goodness. Do you know there's a scripture? This is kind of unusual. For me, it seems unusual. I believe it's in Galatians. In fact, I think it's Galatians 6:10. Yeah, let's read it. Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. The King James Version says good to all men. Let us do good to all men. But so many folks don't realize what the next part says. It's so interesting to me. I don't know why. But it says, especially, oh my goodness, does it really, is it just in my New King James Version? Or is it here say, especially to those who are of the household of faith? Oh my goodness. Yes, brothers and sisters, we're a family. We should be very kind and very good to each other. I didn't write it. I'm reading it. Let us do good to everyone. Especially to those who are of the household of faith. Wow. I think that's a little bit of meat to chew on. Let's ponder that. So, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. My brother's here this morning, and I hope he doesn't get embarrassed because I mentioned my brother. But I'll tell you what, I've known the man for as long as I've been alive, and that's over six decades. No, I'm not going to tell you his age or my age. But to me, my brother is so gentle. I can stand here before you this morning and say these words in all honesty, in all truthfulness. I have not known a time that my brother's ever hollered at me, ever yelled at me, ever raised his voice, ever been unkind to me. That doesn't mean he didn't correct me. That didn't mean he didn't give me advice. But I am so thankful for a brother that is so gentle. He has never, ever hollered at me, scolded me. And that's different than correction or different than long-suffering or different than, let me show you a little different way. And as the years gone on and decades have gone on, now it's like, I think we kind of think alike. It's like, wow, you know, he's not come a long way. I've come a long way. But he's a very gentle person and very kind, very, very kind. And I appreciate that. And, you know, it's a lot of times, you know, we give roses too late. I want to give a rose to him now. We give roses too late. We give roses when they're not in presence or not here. I thank God for my brother who has been so helping and so comforting and so advising and so with such good counsel. And I say that with all my heart. All right, so gentleness. My brother's gentle. Self-control. Self-control can lead us into so many things. Self-control, we need that. We need temperance. We need that in our life. And that can affect so many, like, I've lost track of time. I'm not done and I've lost track of time. Oh, no, Dave, I don't want to break the record. We have a record. I'm trying not to break the record. But when I look at self-control, I think of so many things. But, you know, one thing I do want to say is I want to go back just a tiny bit to Denise and Charlie. I said to Denise and Charlie, who was a good role model for me for love, and I said to them, I said, Charlie, I said, I want you to look out over America. And I said, when you drive down through America and you see all these homes and you see three cars in a driveway and you see so many things, I said, some of them own them, but I said, I want to tell you something. Many, and I almost believe most, many Americans are deep, deep in debt. It's wonderful if they have it, and I'm all for it. But I said, when you look and you go back to Mexico, I want you to know that these Americans don't always own everything you see. A lot of times they don't have self-control. A lot of times they don't have temperance. They want it more than anything, so they go into debt for it. They want it more than anything, so they use credit cards. I said, Charlie, this was a real conversation. I said, Charlie, I said, it may look like everybody has everything, but I said, some do, but I said, many and probably most really don't own everything you see. So, you know, and that's one of the sad things in America. And I believe that one of the fruits of the Spirit is we're going to walk. We want to walk in temperance. We want everything in our life to be in balance. And if there's anything for 25 years I've tried to do in my life, and people that know me have heard me say, I want a balance. I want a balance. Because we're in a race. We're running a spiritual race. I want to read you a small devotional that is one of my devotionals by the Duck Commander, the Duck Dynasty family. His name's Cy. He writes this. This is kind of off a little bit, but I just wanted to read it because he talks about the race of his life, and I feel like to be in the fruits of the Spirit, we need these, and sometimes they're not as easy to obtain as you would think, but they're available, and we want it. All right, so Cy says, I will tell you, friends, if my kin ever sees me running, they should get a gun and shoot whatever is chasing me because I ain't running for fun, Jack. One thing about running is that you have to stay focused enough to not want to quit. He said, if I had a prize to focus on, he said, maybe I would try running, but nah, I don't like running. But even though I do not like to run physically, I am running a spiritual race. every day of my life. And I know that if I stay focused on Christ, I can win and finish the race of my life, because he said, this is one spiritual race I consider running for. And he finishes, he said, I will consider running for it, Jack. I don't know why Si always says that, but you know, that's the truth. We are in a spiritual race, and we're going to walk, and we're going to run, and but the important thing is we are going to move forward. So I want to read something in closing on the fruits of the Spirit to kind of wrap up some of the things I've said. Like I said, I wanted to bring up some different angles than what we always hear, maybe. So I thought this was so good, and I want to wrap up this morning with this writing by the fruits of the Spirit. God gives us believers victory over sin and enables us to be Christ-like. He does that by producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love tops the list. Paul may have mentioned it first because all the other attributes flow from it. Joy and peace are the result of our relationship with God. They replace guilt, anger, unforgiveness, resentment. And as we deal with people, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives us patience, the fruits of the Spirit, kindness and goodness. And we develop the ability to live with the failings of ourselves or others. In fact, we are prompted to lighten even others' loads. We're prompted to lighten their load. At the same time, the Holy Spirit produces faithfulness, gentleness, and goodness, and self-control in our lives. These three character traits are impossible for a man to experience without the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you that it's a light into our feet and a light into our pathway. I thank you that, Lord, we're on this path of righteousness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And God, I pray that you'll help each one of us to glean from your word, to help us, Lord, to have peace with ourselves and peace with one another. I thank you for each other, and I thank you, God, what you can do. You can do abundantly and above all we could ask or think. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're going to work in our hearts in a very special way this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless each and every one of you. And the elders will be up front if you want prayer for anything. So, not to be too abrupt, but God bless you. You're dismissed.